This is Enid Grace, and today's focus will be on heart health. February is National Heart Health Month, and I'm joined today by Sarah Sandham, registered dietitian and health promoter with the Prince Edward Family Health Team. Sarah is going to help shed some light on cardiovascular health, prevention methods, some common risk factors, and specifically nutrition for a healthy heart. Welcome to the Grapevine, Sarah.
Thank you.
So Sarah, we often read a lot about cardiovascular health and heart health, but what are the current Canadian statistics for heart disease? I think a lot of us have heard that it's a common occurrence in daily life for men, women, and unfortunately children, but what kind of information can you give us on what currently the stats are for Canada?
Yes. Well, according to the Heart and Stroke Foundation, heart disease and stroke are two out of the three leading causes of death in Canada. There's an estimated 70,000 heart attacks every year in Canada, and there's a similar number of strokes. The good news is, as we learn more about health, the numbers seem to be improving. Research suggests that up to 80% of premature heart disease and stroke is preventable through having a healthy lifestyle. This would be things like managing your stress levels, not smoking, healthy eating, and keeping physically active.
We'll touch a little bit on some of those prevention methods in terms of fitness and stress reduction, but we want to do a lot on nutrition specifically today. In terms of nutrition, let's sort of start with what are some of the things that we should certainly be including in our diet?
Well, overall, balance and moderation are really key to healthy eating habits. That's important to remember, but sometimes that can be easier said than done. There are a few really important nutrients that we want to get more of. One of them is fiber when it comes to heart health, and we're not doing such a good job at that right now. The average Canadian eating pattern tends to be quite low in fiber. So I know most of us already know that eating vegetables and fruit is important. Again, about 60% of adults in Canada aren't meeting the minimum recommendations, and more than half of children aged 12 to 19 aren't meeting this either.
So obviously eating more fruits and vegetables is very important, but sometimes it's a little easier said than done. So what is your advice getting some more into your diet, and in some cases maybe having to sneak some in?
Try to make the healthy choice the easy choice. And by that, you might try cutting up some vegetables or fruit in advance so they're convenient for you and easy to grab as a snack. You might think about including a vegetable or fruit with each meal. Try some berries or a cut up banana or apple on your cereal at breakfast. Add some raw vegetables at lunch or a fruit for dessert, and always include a vegetable at your supper meal.
So in addition to fruits and vegetables, what are some other food avenues people can take in terms of getting fiber?
So including legumes as a regular part of your dietary habits is really important. They are truly a nutrition powerhouse. One serving, which is 3/4 of a cup, can contain about half of your daily fiber requirements, more than 30% of your iron requirements, and they're a great source of protein. So you can use these in recipes in the place of meat, not to mention that they're much more affordable.
Well, and with the cost of food escalating now, it might be sort of a twofold benefit. Not only are you getting some heart healthy fiber, but you're reducing your grocery bill a bit. Dairy products, is that something that we should be looking at as a pro or a con to heart health?
Dairy products definitely are one of the foundations to a healthy diet, but we have to be careful of different types of fat when it comes to your heart health. So let's talk about different types of fat and how they affect your cholesterol.
Yeah, I think a lot of people find confusion sometimes. They hear fat's bad, but then there are the healthy fats and the things that you should be eating in terms of fat. So let's put some of that confusion to rest. What are the good fats that we should have, and what are the fats we should avoid?
Okay. So as a registered dietitian, anybody who knows me knows that I often refer to the different types of fat as the good, the bad, and the ugly. I call them the good fats because they actually lower the bad LDL cholesterol and raise the good HDL cholesterol, exactly what we want. These fats are called unsaturated fats. They can be polyunsaturated or monounsaturated. You will find them in foods like fish, such as salmon, mackerel, or trout, and nuts and seeds, avocados, olive oil, canola oil. And moving down, remember that all foods fit into part of a healthy eating pattern. But the fats that I call not quite so healthy have been shown to raise the lousy LDL cholesterol. These are saturated fats, and these are the fats that are found in meats and animal products, such as dairy products, as well as coconut oil. And lastly, the other type of fat is called trans fat, which can raise the lousy cholesterol and lower the good HDL cholesterol, exactly the opposite of what we want. These are mostly found in packaged and processed convenience foods. Overall, the take-home message would be to replace the less healthy fats with the healthier ones. So include one small handful of nuts most days, or you might try using avocado seasoned to taste as a sandwich bread instead of butter.
In addition to fats, I think there's often a lot of confusion with regards to sodium as well, which can cause a lot of issues with your cardiovascular health. Obviously, a lot of people just think of salt as being, you know, something you put on your food, but it's hidden in a lot of things as sugar is. So how do we sort of attack our love of salt, so to speak?
Yes. Sodium is really important because it can affect your blood pressure. So approximately 1 in 5 Canadians have high blood pressure, and this is a significant risk factor for stroke as well as heart disease, dementia, many other health conditions. So you can start by checking your blood pressure at your local pharmacy or doctor's office to find out. But overall, with your eating habits and sodium, the average Canadian consumes about 3,400 milligrams of sodium each day. That's well above the recommended amount or the tolerable upper limit of 2300 milligrams or 1 teaspoon of sodium a day. So if you think you're safe because you don't use the salt shaker or add salt during cooking, it's a good start. But as Enid said, about majority of our sodium comes from processed foods, more than 70% as hidden sodium.
So what are some of the places that it's hiding?
Mostly processed packaged foods. Think of a frozen pizza, for example. Some have over 800 milligrams of sodium per serving, and that's only in a sixth of the pizza. So go read your food labels and make sure to look at the serving size on the package and how much you will eat. Try to look for choices with less sodium. Under 120 milligrams per serving is a good rule of thumb.
So with sodium being quite prevalent in a lot of places, some obvious and some not so much, what are some tips on limiting sodium in some of those hidden spots?
A simple way would be to stick to real whole foods that aren't in a package or can, mostly found around the outside perimeter of your grocery store. If you do buy canned veggies or canned food products, a really easy way to reduce your sodium intake would be to rinse them before using them in cooking, and that will reduce the sodium by about 40 to 50%.
And there's a lot of ways that you can flavor your food and season your food without necessarily using salts. I think a lot of people should maybe start looking at the spice rack and using fresh herbs as an alternative.
Yes, there's many fresh herbs and spices that could be fresh or dried. Choose your favorite ones, and you can have a great strong flavor and blended with the right cooking techniques.
We touched on sodium and fats and fiber, but we forgot about sugar. So I kind of want to sort of touch on your thoughts on that, because you brought in some examples of products today that have an unassuming amount of sugar until you actually see it. And that causes a little bit of concern. So tell us a little bit about what we should be watching in terms of sugar intake.
Yeah. So it's that added sugar. When we look at a lot of soft drinks, you know, I brought the example of soft drink pop in today. And in one can, you would have over 150 calories and it's 10 teaspoons of sugar. So 42 grams of sugar approximately in a can of soft drink. And it's empty calories. So it's not just about the calories or the sugar, but there's no nutritional benefit. So it's important for adults and children. And remember, try and have them more often as a treat. It's important to keep hydrated, but when you're thirsty, the best thing you can drink is water. You can try flavored water. There are a lot of options for this. You could try adding a few slices of cucumber for a nice flavor. You might also like sparkling water.
You've given us a lot of information in terms of nutrition, but there are a lot of other ways to kickstart your cardiovascular health or help if you're already experiencing some heart issues. Touch briefly on fitness versus the dreaded sedentary lifestyle and how stress plays a role in heart health.
Yeah, I think the take-home message is that we really need to get moving. Only 15% of adults and 7% of Canadian children and youth meet the recommended guidelines. And the Canadian Physical Activity Guidelines recommend 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous intensity aerobic activity each week. So we really need to get moving. I always say physical activity is like brushing your teeth. It's something that we have to do and we should do it daily. So what can you do? It could be as simple as breaking up the amount of time you spend sitting in a day. Try standing up and walking around a little every 30 or 60 minutes. Definitely find something you enjoy doing. It could be walking. You might walk around one lap inside the grocery store, hardware store, or the mall before you begin shopping. If walking doesn't make sense for your body, you might try some seated exercises.
In terms of stress reduction as well, physical fitness actually leads to a lot of stress reduction, sort of getting to the gym or going out for a walk and gives you some time to kind of decompress, maybe doing some classes, meditation classes, yoga classes would also help probably in stress reduction and therefore in terms of heart health.
Yes, some people find a great stress relief through physical activity. For other people, it could be meditation. Keeping your stress levels well managed for each individual is definitely important.
Let's just touch briefly on smoking. Obviously, it's a common risk factor associated with cardiovascular health. What sort of programs or resources are available specifically locally if someone's looking at their heart health internally and is a smoker and is looking for some help?
At the Prince Edward Family Health Team, we have a smoking cessation program. We have Dee Hazel, a registered nurse, and Janice Hall, a pharmacist. And you can make an appointment and call the Family Health Team to set up an appointment. And they are great. They don't expect you to quit today or tomorrow, but they work with you to come up with a plan that will work well for you.
And what other resources locally or online can you reference for our local listeners with regards to heart health, nutrition, places they can get advice on diet or meal planning or even some recipe ideas?
Yeah. So Heart and Stroke Foundation does have lots of information about cardiovascular disease and stroke, as well as recipes and information from registered dietitians. You might also check out www.lentils.ca to try to include more meat alternatives like legumes, those high fiber, high nutrient choices that are lower in fat and sodium. Or you might try Eat Right Ontario. It's a free service for all Ontarians. You can call 5 days a week, and it's 1-877-510-5102.
Where can people find local resources at the Family Health Team? Is there a website, or where can they find you actually in person?
Yes, at the Prince Edward Family Health Team, we're lucky to have two registered dietitians, and one in Picton, one in Wellington, as well as a whole variety of team of health professionals. So you can visit our website at www.pefht.ca. We will have a list of programs on there, and you can find lots of information, or you can give us a call to set up an appointment with Kim or Sarah, registered dietitians, at 613-476-0400. It's important that we think about our heart health every day.
Exactly. I have been speaking with Sarah Santam. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us all of this incredible information. This has been Enid Grace for The Grapevine.
This has been Heart Health with Enid Grace, as heard on 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.